Good morning. Praise the Lord. What a great morning has already been. Thank you, Brendan, for those wonderful sharing. Good to be here back in, at a Freedom Hill Community Church. I was here a few weeks ago, if you remember me. Since then, things have happened. I have lost my beard this morning, accident. And my little one told me, "Daddy, why do you look so funny?" I said, "Great, thank you." But good to be here. Thank you. Let me say thank you for loving us, welcoming to Boston, and thank you for investing in us. You were sacrificial, intentional giving, helps us to reach university students in the city of Boston, and I could not stand here without your faithful prayers and support. I am deeply honored and say thank you to those who are listening from home. Thank you for being with us in this endeavor and God's calling in our lives. If you have Bibles with you, please turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 11 through 18. I will read quickly. "So I went to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, and I and a few men with me, and I told no one that what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me but the one on which I rode. I went out by night by the valley gate to the dragon spring and to the dung gate and inspected the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal that was under me to pass." I'm going to skip and come to verse 17. "Then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision.'" Verse 18, I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." Father, we thank you for your word. We come to you with expectation that you would talk to our hearts today. Let the words of wisdom, not of man, but of you, Lord, that you know our hearts. There is nothing that is hidden for your eyes. There are things people know about us, but you know everything about us, our innermost being. You know all of them. So we come to you, talk to us. We want to hear from you. Amen. Now, when you get ready to hear a sermon from this passage, it is only natural for us to think about and anticipate what the sermon is going to be about. We instantly started to think about the condition of a broken situation in our own lives. It could be either personal, familial, communal, or even national. Or we instantly started to think about a sense of calling in our own lives to stand up and rebuild. A sense of resilience overtakes us. I would say all those things are good and rightfully very critical to the text that we just read. But today, this morning, it is my hope that we would look at this passage with an anticipation from the Holy Spirit to talk to you, to talk to us directly, and we will become the people of action, taking responsibility according to what God is going to talk to us today. Let me give you a brief context to the text here. Babylon, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, came in and overthrew Jerusalem and Judah. The Babylonians take the Jews captive and deport them from Judah to Babylon starting 579 BC. The glory of Judah is extinguished. The capital city of Jerusalem is overtaken. The temple is destroyed. The people are deported. And for the next 70 years, Judah and Jerusalem will remain in this broken state. By the time we get to this particular passage, exiles who were taken at the time of the Babylonian captivity or invasion has already been allowed to return to their homeland. And the ones that had already came, they rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem. But here, Nehemiah finds out the walls and the gates are not being rebuilt yet. You might ask, well, what's the big deal about these walls? In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3, we read this: the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. You know why? Because the walls and the gates were broken. What does that mean? You see, for Israelites and for Nehemiah, rebuilding the broken walls and the gates were a matter of security and glory. Raising up and rebuilding these broken walls means building toward the promises God has given them years ago. And I wonder this morning if anybody's sitting here thinking that the enemy stolen the promises God had given you one time, that the enemy destroyed the walls, the security, the honor God had placed over your life. Let me tell you this morning that God has sent me here to tell you the enemy does not get to keep you in exile for a long time. He does not get to keep you a slave a long time. If you're ready to rise up and start rebuilding the broken places, God will be with you. God cannot come to your side and help you if you're not willing to work and already doing what you're able to do. Thousands of years ago, Nehemiah burdened about the broken walls and the broken gates of the city of Jerusalem for the sake of his own people. He did what it took to secure his people's safety and glory of his nation Israel, and God gave him victory. The question is, so what? Right? What's the big deal? It's 1,000 years ago. So what is it the Lord is speaking to me and to you today in our context, in our personal lives, in our homes, in our families, in our towns, and in our cities? See, maybe we can interpret it like this. It is our burden to rebuild the broken walls and the gates of our nation. The broken walls and gates being the spiritual decay of our nation, the lack of moral strength of our nation. We can go down that path saying the wall of justice is broken, the wall of mercy is broken, the wall of equality is broken, the wall of human dignity is broken. It seems so many important things that gives you and me sincere security and a sense of glory seem to be broken. But now the question is not what needs to be fixed in our context. The answer to that is very obvious. We can just look around and find out the broken places in our systems of our world. But I think the important thing that we need to ask this morning is, where do we start rebuilding? The process of rebuilding must take place. It is not to find out just the broken places. Anybody can. Anybody who has eyes can see that. But what I should think about today is, oh Lord, help me to start rebuilding. And if so, where do I start rebuilding? Sometimes we are too much concerned about what is going on in our world and not seem to be concerned about the broken walls and gates in our own personal lives. But look, here in this story, I would say Nehemiah has been co-building the walls in his own life with Jesus all along through all that is going on. He has been co-building the walls in his personal life so that he can rise up and build the problems that was beyond himself. I think we can learn from the walls Nehemiah has been already building in his own personal life. We will three different things that he has been already building in his own life and how God used those things, able to help those things to see him wanting to be broken outside and used him as a weapon in his hands to build the nation. Point number one, chapter number one, verse 4, we read this. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. and a continual fasting and praying before the God of heaven. What news are we talking here? The news that the walls of Jerusalem and the gates are broken. As soon as he heard this disappointing news, he says, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. My question to us is this. Who do we call first, or who do we run to first when we hear a news that is discouraging, that is disappointing? Not to the person who you have not talked for a year, right? It's like, you know what? I remember seeing him 2 years ago. Let me give him a call. We don't do that, do we? We don't just call and call a stranger and tell them what just some terrible thing happened in our lives. We run to a person whom we trust. Is that right? Lesson number one, Nehemiah had a real intimacy with the Lord. The first thing he does when he heard the news is not run to anyone else, but to run to Jesus and spend time with him, cry and fast and mourn and help. Lord, I want to talk to you. He had a real intimacy with the Lord. Nehemiah has been building the wall of intimacy with God all along. Number one, the wall of real intimacy with Jesus. This is what Nehemiah had in himself and in his own life. And this is not something that happened all of a sudden. He has been building this wall of intimacy with God himself. Psalms 27 verse 4 reads this, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This has to be our desire. We need to long to be with the Lord. Our heart for Jesus, our intimacy for the Lord must grow. We need to have intentional time spent with Jesus. Reading scriptures, singing praises to him in private, listening to him in talking to us, praying just extravagant time with Jesus. It is time for us to start building the wall of intimacy with Jesus in our personal lives. It is in this practice of real extravagant time with Jesus that our hearts learn to know him personally, to listen to his voice, and trust him. See, our problem is that we know the capacity of Jesus, but we do not have a real understanding of the character of Jesus. We know what Jesus can do, such as what? Such as parting an ocean, turning water into wine. We trust that he is a healer. He's a miracle worker. We understand the capacity of God, the bigness and the power of God, but we seldom understand the character of God. It happens only when I spend time with Jesus. Intimacy of God is vital. Nehemiah had the intimacy of God in his life. That wall was standing fantastic way. This is important. Since the beginning of humankind, the devil has never told a truth to convince human being of anything. Instead, he always used twisted truth to confuse God's children. How much we should be understanding and spending time with the Lord. Listen to this. Devil's idea is not to convince you of anything. He doesn't have truth himself. He is called the father of liars. Okay, so there is no truth he has to convince me. But what he does is he takes the truths and twists them to confuse us. He cannot convince us. He takes the truth and show it just to confuse you. How many of you think that we are living in a confused world? Theology matters. What is theology? Understanding of the nature and character of God. We need to have deep convictions about what God is like, what he thinks of things that we think about, what is his understanding of freedom, how he would explain justice, what this mercy looks like from Jesus. We cannot afford to live in a world that ideas and media shapes our theology. It matters because the way we think leads the choices that we make. I hope that Our ideas coming from our intimacy with the Lord. Our ideas are shaped from our intimacy with the Lord. Our ideas, our thought patterns are shaped out of our understanding of the character of God, because it really matters. It is gonna push me to make choices in real life. Intentional time spent with Jesus is the foundation for all the efforts that is rewarding and lasting. Intentional time spent with Jesus, your intimacy with Jesus is foundational for all the efforts that you do that will bring result and fruit in our lives. Lesson number two, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18, we read this. And I told them, in parentheses, who is them? It actually says in verse 16, the Jews, the priests, the nobles, and officials, and the rest. He says, I told them of the hand of God had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. This is key here. Nehemiah calls everybody and tells them what God has already been doing. And what was their response? What is their response? Where they're like, I don't know, Nehemiah. It's been like, I don't know you. Why should I follow you? Why should I even trust you? Whatever you said God has been doing in your life, why should I trust you? That is not what they say. What do they say? They say, let's rise up and build. Lesson number two, Nehemiah had real relationship among brothers in his community. Nehemiah had real relationship and trust among his brothers in his community. Nehemiah has been building the wall of real relationship and trust with his people in his community. This is key. To the Christian walk is daily. We need one another. Can we say that? We need one another. It is not that I met Jesus, me and Jesus. It doesn't work that way. You think about the two main sacraments in the scriptures were what? One, baptism, and the second one is what? Communion. We cannot do that just yourself, okay? Just by two sacraments, God demanded you to be around with someone else. Community is the heart of what we live. We need one another. We won't make it out. We won't make it in this world without Jesus and also without these people sitting next to you. This is important for us to live. It is time for us to see through the broken walls called fake relationship. It is time for us to really love one another. Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciple when you love one another. We need to love one another just like Jesus loved. What kind of love Jesus poured out on our behalf? It says love is, how do you define love? What is the kind of love Jesus gave me? He gave me the love that is unselfish. Love is unselfishly choosing for the highest good of the other. That is the kind of love Jesus poured on me. He chose me. He unselfishly chose me. He left the glory that he had. He unselfishly chose me for my own good. This is the kind of love Jesus wants us to have for each other. Let me tell you this, more than 50% of all American families are broken. If stats are correct, half of us sitting here are coming from a broken family. May this church, Freedom Hill Community Church in Malden, becomes a family for the lost and broken in this community. It has to start with, let us loving one another such deep level. As a broken person walks into the door, comes into the place, lives in, you know what, I have never had a family, but I saw one today. It is in these real relationships with others in a godly community that we begin to learn to serve Jesus in one accord as we passionately serve our King Jesus. In the story of ministry, we call it, we are a family and we are an army. We are a family when we need rest, but when devil stands up, we cuddle up together and fight against him. In order to do that, we need to love one another. Nehemiah chapter 3, Point number three, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, and that I may rebuild it. This is key here. You send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. Lesson number three. Nehemiah was a man of real responsibility. He started with one. He was a man of real intimacy with God. He was a man of real relationship with his brothers in his community. And he was a man of real responsibility. Nehemiah has been building the wall of real responsibility for all this time. Ever since Nehemiah heard the walls of Jerusalem was broken, he had been burdened and wanting to go build. See, let me tell you this. Knowledge equals responsibility. The fact that the people are lost around us should gives me the responsibility to reach them. Knowledge equals responsibility, right? Church of Jesus cannot afford slackers, but Jesus called us to be salt and light of this world. He sends us out as responsible people. This is important in our lives. It could be this wall of responsibility that is broken in our life today. But I'm moved in my spirit to tell you this. Jesus has given you enough strength. Let me tell you this. He has given you enough strength to take responsibility and make decisions. And he also says, I got you back. He's not going to tell you, go do it. Hey, I have put enough strength in you. I have installed this power that is in you. If you would just move, I'm going to say, I got you back. Worship team can come back. Hey, God is calling us to be people of responsibility today. Let us take responsibility for what matters to God the most. Do you know what matters to God the most? What is it? Tell me somebody. What matters to God the most? Coming to church on a Sunday morning? What matters to God the most is His children. I have three little girls, 7-year-old, 5-year-old, and 3-year-old. The greatest thing that I feel, parents, you have children, know this. When your children plays on the other room, when they laugh at each other, when they laugh together, when they play together, your heart bubbles, right? Because you can hear them smiling and laughing, and it's exactly what God wants. When God looks from there, looks at us, we are not loving one another, just fighting each other, not treating one another. God's heart is broken again. But God wants us to be people of responsibility. What does that mean? That means that as you walk out of this place, you know that Malden need more of Jesus. You know people in your workplaces, in your homes, in your families, in your town, in your city, you know the people. You yourself know. I mean, there might be certain faces coming to your mind right now as I'm saying this. We should take responsibility for them. God placed you. Let me tell you this. You did not end up the place God placed you that you are in now. God places you in places. You just don't randomly end up there. I believe that. I was born and raised in India. I was a stutter boy. I stuttered all my life until age 23. God changed my life and He healed me. Took me to Texas. Now I'm in Boston for 7 months now. And I believe that I am not just randomly ended up in Boston. Nothing in our life happens randomly. If you walk with the Lord, God places you in places. Let me tell you this. You can take responsibility of the family. The family, you did not choose to be born there, but God made you born there. There's a purpose. But if you walk with the Lord, there's a purpose behind it. You did not choose the city that you want to be born or you end up living, but God chose you for that place and the city for you because He has purpose for you in that place. Because nothing in our life, we just don't end up. He places us in places. Here is the God who welcomes us. Come on, let's work together. We want to be people who have taken responsibility today. Would you stand with me? Nehemiah was a man of intimacy with God. He was a man of real relationship with one another. And he was a man of real responsibility. Nehemiah is great, but let me tell you, we cannot model after Nehemiah. We model after Jesus. Jesus was a God who had intimate relationship with His Father. He invested in our lives. He invested in disciples' life. He had real relationship with His disciples. And let me tell you, He had real relationship with you. He died for me. He gave everything for me. It is to this God He's calling us. I do not know. I know you were intimacy with the God is not broken. But I know it can be worked more. I know mine can be worked more. As I'm going to close this session, would you hear what God is talking to your heart today? You want to build a lot of things, but God wants to build you. You have dreams that has not been come to pass yet, but God is building you to get there. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, I would just ask, it is all between you and the Lord. But if you would take a moment to maybe find a place on the altar. If you don't want to come up here, please make an altar where you are. I know God is here, He's speaking to you. Father, we thank You that You are a loving God. And to love us. Thank You for taking responsibility to come to our world and change me. Would You build in us a hunger for You that we want to be intimate with You, Lord? Would You fill our hearts with the need for one another, that we will love one another just like You asked us to and You showed us to, Lord? Would You make a people of responsibility that we will not go past seeing a need, but we will seize it and take a step to meet it, Lord. Would You create in us that? We come to You, we need You. We cannot do this anything without Your presence. Help us, Lord. We love You. Amen. Amen.